to another episode of The Reality Is, and as always, it's Noor, and we're talking traitors with the most treacherous people I know, Chelsea, and Raheel.
Hello, hello.
Hi there.
I'm the least faithful. I'm going to make Twitter real mad at me.
Two backstabbing bastards, if I've ever seen them. Chelsea, I've played games with you. And I think that you would actually be an incredible traitor.
Thank you. I think so too. I like to live every day like I'm a traitor, but I really feel like I could be good at this game. Much better than MJ at the very least. Although she did make it to the end. So who am I to judge, really?
Sweet MJ. Sweet, sweet MJ. Oh, Mercedes David, how are you doing today? I want to just do like a mental health check on her because based on the reunion, doesn't seem like she's doing so well.
No, she had real life shocked Pikachu face during that finale. And I just don't understand how a woman can be frenemies with Reza for 30 years and not see that coming.
Just, yeah, like you've been backstabbed in real life on your show, which is your real life, so many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, see, for I don't have
the history with MJ and backstabbings. Yeah. So, but I was like, you know what? I understand it. I was with MJ in that moment. Because, I mean, I guess it's how you you look at the game, right? The gamers actually just look at the game and they look at the money and that's it. I guess MJ was there, I guess, to kind of make friends or something.
Well, we'll get into it. Let's go as chronologically as we can. This was, in my opinion, one of the best reality TV show, like, and I don't watch a lot of competition reality TV, but this one was fucking incredible. What did you guys think of it?
I mean, the fact that Johnny Bananas, the world's best slash worst villain, was voted out number one and we still had a super entertaining run. I really enjoyed all of the players. I felt like it was entertaining from H to T, as Tyra would say. And I loved this finale. I was on the edge of my seat.
Is that what Tyra used to say?
Yeah, from you've got a model from H to T, from head to toe. Come on, Noor. Know your herstory. It was just not International Women's Day. I know it's over and we're back to the patriarchy, but come on, Tyra Banks. A woman who uplifts women everywhere.
A woman who roots for other women, right? If I recall that meme correctly. She was rooting for her.
Mm-hmm. We were all rooting for you.
We were all rooting for her. Yeah, it was incredible. You're right. It was incredible from H to T. Real, what did you think?
No, the entire, so, you know, I don't watch a lot of reality TV, which I like to point out all the time, as if that makes me a better human being or something.
I love that you're becoming a regular co-host of this show, and there's only so much longer this facade is going to keep of, I don't watch that much reality TV.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he knows everything about the Gorgas versus Judice. Yeah. He loves Sonia and Luann.
I do.
I've made him watch multiple Ultimate Girls trips. Mm. He even watched Luann and Sonia's little sideshow.
Oh, nobody watched that. Crappy Lake.
Yeah. Crappy Lake. I was forced to, but I will just say, in defense of my love for Luann and what was the other one?
Sonia.
Sonia. Sorry, I don't always remember the names. In my love for them is, you know, that's just like a universal truth. You should love both of those people. Well, they're just lovable people.
That's true.
Like, you just see them once and it's good enough. Anyways, but my reaction to this episode was, this is now somehow the best episode. Like, this entire season has been incredible. And I was like, well, we're losing like a lot of like the big name players and stuff, especially after Phaedra left. I was like, what are they going to do? And the fucking finale was like an hour and 10 minutes. And I was like, every single minute of this is worth it. It's so beautiful. It's just so great.
So usually when we watch it, like we'll text each other and I'll be like, oh, did you watch? Or like, he'll usually text me being like, this is the best fucking episode ever. And that's been happening every single week of Traitors. So like, I watched it on Thursday night because I was like, I'm not going to survive. Like, there's no way that I could, like, I'll have to throw my phone into a river. Like, yes, I won't be able to do anything. So I waited until 11:30 because I had a bunch of other shit to do. And I was like, well, I can't wait. So I watched it at night and in our bedroom. Like, we have a TV, but I like to use my AirPods when my husband is sleeping and I'm watching it. And I gasped so loud so many times that he woke up because he was so startled by me. But I was like, you know that, like, I forgot who it is, but there's like that scary movie meme of like, this, that was me. This is the entire time I was watching this finale.
Yeah.
We open up on Sheree is murdered. And before she leaves, Sheree tells us she knows that Kate is a traitor, which leads me to the question, Chelsea, did we underestimate Sheree?
Well, I don't know. Can we ever estimate Sheree in any capacity? I love that she played this game the way she launched her website. She's going to tell everybody she knew who the traitors were from day one. But is it just a Zanga page from 2007? Yes, it is. Like, I think that she finally figured out what game she was there to play as she received that note. She was like, oh, they're killing people. They're voting people out. Huh.
And it turns out I am dead. I am in fact dead.
I will now pass away. I mean, I liked it. I liked Sheree just being like, well, guess what, dummies? I know what's going on. Which also leads me to believe that when Sheree is bamboozling us in real life and is like, oh, yeah, spring, summer, winter, whatever, September, my joggers are going to come out. So, real, you don't know the background because
you don't watch reality TV.
But Sheree has been on Real Housewives of Atlanta as a fashion person and a fashion mogul, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call her. Certainly not a designer. But she once had a fashion show without any fashions. And then she she came back. She left. She came back and she was supposed to be launching a fashion line. And they asked her, when's it going to come out? And she said, spring, summer, September. And then they were like, what? And she was like, it's joggers, it's lifestyle. And we're like, what words are you saying?
And anyway, then 10 years passed.
Then she comes, leaves the show, comes back again, and we finally saw the joggers. She had a whole fashion show. The fashion show was not bad, but then at the end of the episode she queued it up where she was like, I will launch my fashion line online as soon as the finale airs, which is so smart, right? Guess what? The website is broken. Shuts down. She believes she broke the internet. When really, it was that she got like the bare minimum free GoDaddy account that, like, you know, can barely handle 5 visitors at one time.
It comes with the banners on top with like the GoDaddy advertisements. Yeah. Yeah.
She had a TaskRabbit set up her website, basically.
Yeah, basically. And then she, we finally get access to the website, and it's all just clothes from Amazon with her name on it. And they're shockingly several hundreds of dollars. Like sweatpants and sweatshirts that just say She by Sheree, because that's the name of her brand. And they're just like, it's like, you know, $135 for a hoodie. Just like insane stuff. So I bring this all up to say, I think sometimes we underestimate Sheree, but I think that Sheree sometimes, it's hard to tell. It's like, are you playing a dummy because you are trying to convince us that you're too dumb to do this and therefore, like, I don't know? Or are you really a dummy who is also delusional? And that's sort of the end of that thought.
Well, it's 2024, Noor. Women can do anything, and she can be both. She can be playing the part and also just a real-life idiot, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you're a moron long enough, you do find advantages to it at some point. You're like, oh, you know, people do let me get away with a lot of stuff.
I honestly feel like I wish that I was a little bit dumber than I am, you know, because I think that sometimes I pretend to be dumb, but I'm not actually stupid. And I feel like people know that about me. And so they're like, she can't really be that stupid. And I can't like bamboozle people because I'm not good at it.
Well, as somebody who can sometimes be really smart and sometimes be very, very dumb, it is fun sometimes to be able to just lean into that persona. If you don't know anything, just pedal to the metal.
Yeah,
you know? there is like some sort of, you know, like blissful lack of awareness would be nice if you just cared just a little less.
I feel like, Raheel, you as a middle child got away with being just a little bit dumb.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Pretending to be a little dumb.
Oh, yeah.
It's been so great. No, I really do feel bad about this. You guys. Okay, I'm just going to go off.
Like, our oldest brother, who we rag on all the time, is the golden child. And then I'm the only girl. So we just both had, like, a lot of pressure on us. And Rahil was like,
bleh. It was beautiful. I had shade coming from the front because he was, like, 3 years older than me. And then from the back, there's just all this external pressure on her. It just got away scot-free. Fantastic.
Anyway, Sheree's gone. It's CT, Sandra, and Trishel decide that they will be banishing Kate. They're like, no brainer. It's obviously Kate. MJ, however, sweet, sweet MJ, lovable, loyal little heart, is like, I still got to stand by my Bravo girl. Kate puts it in her mind that it might be Sandra. And that's where they're sort of going into this final mission.
I'll say this about MJ. MJ had the best reaction at the morning table after they found out that Sheree wasn't there. MJ just goes, they murdered Sheree. And then she goes, this is giving me Sandra murder energy.
People just say stuff on the show, and I love it.
Did you see the tweet that said, you may have actually shared it, Nor. Somebody said, one of the most interesting parts of the show is how small MJ can write a name on that chalkboard.
Yeah.
It's like every week it got smaller and smaller. By the end, Alan needed like a monocle to see it.
Yeah. It almost feels like she's just like grinding that chalk into the tiniest little piece. And she's like whispering it.
And it's not just small letters. They're also like bunched up together. There's no space in the middle.
I would love to see a handwriting analysis of that.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah. She's like
a profiler?
The guiltier she feels, the smaller the handwriting. Which is why, spoiler alert, at the end, she writes Trishel in like the biggest letters we've ever seen. They're going into this final mission. Chelsea, do you care for the physicalities, the hoops and the jumps and the running and the hiking and the swimming?
It's fine. It's the same way I feel like when my husband convinces me to watch an action movie, where it's like, okay, the superhero outfits are cute, but I know I can take a bathroom break during the fight scenes, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's funny because you also famously love over the top, ridiculous, bad sci-fi movies.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know what that says. Again, you can have both. We can have it all now. But I think I like the challenge because everybody is equally committed to doing the challenges and to working their ass off and to like really gutting it out. And it does feel a little bit like you're watching sports. But I think the thing about Traitors is like you're going to have CT doing a full marathon with a tiger on his back. And then you're going to have Kate like tiptoeing through the mud and being like, oh, my shoes, you know? Yeah. And it's just that juxtaposition is hard to grapple with for me.
I know. I could have done with some more wetsuit CT butt.
A lot of butt. A lot of the butts came back.
Do you find CT attractive, Chelsea?
Oh, I am an OG CT gal since him and Diem. Yeah. And I've just followed him all the way. When I saw him on the screen and he's wearing a newsboy cap and I'm like, I shouldn't like this, but I still do.
Yeah.
The newsboy caps and all the sweaters, all like the big fluffy sweaters. And you're just like, I kind of want to cuddle.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He seems like a groundskeeper at a haunted house. You know what I mean? Like a handsome one with a deep, dark story. Maybe a widower. Like, you know, you're like, what's going on? He's like, I've been living in this house for 10 years. And like,
that's I'm a widower. Like,
I'm a widower.
So Chelsea, real quick. So I, you know, we also followed CT early from his Real World shows, and then I stopped watching the challenges probably like mid 2010s or something. But as the show has been going on, I went back and watched CT clips again. And CT, what I remembered of him was he was a monster, and I watched the clips, and I'm like, CT is a monster. Like in those clips, he is a monster. Uh-huh. But I don't know if it's like retroactively after watching this show, I see the monster, and I'm like, I want to love you. I see the hurt in you. I know you're being like an animal right now, but I feel like I can save you.
Rahil, you are describing me in my early 20s to a T. If I saw a monster, I could save them. I could do it.
You see the pain in the eyes? You're like, ah.
Yeah. All right. Sure, you just screamed in my face, but hey, yeah. You promised that maybe you'd look for a therapist in a month.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's so hot. Yeah, this mission is hilarious because it really is CT, you know, running everything. Through, doing all the things. He's like, all right, I guess I'm going to do this one too.
I love when they're trying to find the lock and he's like, please, just anything, just look. And I don't know. I think it was MJ that was like, I don't know what it is. He's like, yeah, neither do I. Just look, like, look around, see if you can find some numbers. And then when she says, you have to go, he's going back to get the hashtag combo. I was like, the numbers. That's a number sign. I love that. MJ was pulling a Bowie Jane from Big Brother. That's, I realized she is the OG person pretending to be a millennial because we, quote unquote, don't know how old this woman is. And when she called it the hashtag combo, I was like, oh, yeah, because I forgot you were born in the 1990s, MJ.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, Chelsea, we do have to tell you the real, and I have no idea about Big Brother people.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't until, you know, I was forced to do a podcast with Donnie. And you can only do a podcast with Donnie for so long before you all of a sudden one day realize that you're watching upwards of 10 hours of Big Brother a week. So, you know, it happens quickly. No, in this last season of Big Brother, there was a woman named Bowie Jane who her only – nobody else – it wasn't like a twist season where everybody's coming in with like a big lie. She went into the season and she was very clearly in her like – early 40s. And she went into the season being like, I am going to pretend that I am a young millennial. Like that was her, like she was going to appeal because like the older people always get voted out. It was also like a older cast than usual. Uh-huh. And there was an older person alliance that she could have gotten in, but instead she committed to the part of wearing little space buns and saying like, bet.
Oh, was she the one? Is there like a clip of her saying something, the boots down purr?
I think probably. Yeah, Bowie Jane. Mm-hmm.
I have a question about the challenge. Now, there's no way I don't think that they finished that thing in 16 minutes, right? Okay. That's completely edited.
It honestly felt to me like Alan was like, you know what, just fucking add time because they've won money on this fucking show. And so we need to like really – I would not be – if I – like I get that Kate says at the end, I keep – going and doing these final challenges and winning no money, but I'm like, but also Kate, number one, you barely try, but also it's because like that they don't get that much money, so I feel like if I was getting very little money I would not really be hustling this hard. Like it's one thing on Big Brother where they're like obviously they do like these little challenges on that show where it's like, you know, little house like circus games or whatever, or like carnival games, but like I feel like on this show or even on Survivor, they're in the fucking pits. Yeah. And I'm just like, I would not. I don't think I would.
Yeah. Two things. One is I wish that they would on this show lean into the campy, silly, stupid Big Brother challenges. Mm-hmm. Like, I would want them to try to, like, you know, they have to pull this machine that makes the lever with a foot kick you in the ass 10 times. Like those are the types of things on Big Brother that the challenges are. And then it's like, whoa, like type of music in the background. Like I think that
so many
might,
sound effects.
Yeah. Like that might pull me back in because like, I would want to see Kate Chastain do that. I would also want to see CT do that.
Yeah.
But also number two, this is a rumor that I heard that I'm now repeating and I don't know if I'm allowed to repeat. So I'm not going to say who told me, but you can guess who I talked to many times a week who may have told me this. I heard that everybody on this cast got a salary. Some were upwards of six figures in addition to the prize money. So people, these celebrities didn't come on like for free. They got paid, which then it's like, okay, MJ, what are you mad about, babe?
Oh, well, that, I mean, makes more sense. Because, yeah, the challenges, like, Raheel mentioned this early on. There were some challenges where they're like, you added $1,250 to your prize pot of $4,000. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, like this one, it was like $50,000. I was like, oh my God, $50,000. And then you're like, it's a lot of money for this show, but like, they give you more than that if you make like a half court shot at an NBA, at an NBA game. You know what I mean?
I feel like they need to like up it for inflation or something. Like, I don't know what this is. Maybe it's because they're in Scotland. Like, I'm not sure. They're playing by EU standards. Things aren't as expensive there, but it's like, these are all Americans. They need money. But I also believe, Raheel, that they, that Alan just like turned off the time. He was like,
yeah, I think they were just like, we need video. Just go just do fucking the thing.
Do it.
Just Alan was so over it.
Alan was like, he's like, last 30 seconds, everyone. He's like, 10, 10.
It's like me 10. Trying to do bedtime with my daughters. I'm like, don't make me get to 3. And then I'm like, God help us. If I get to 3, I don't know what's going to happen.
We never know.
Like 2, 2.5, 2.75. Everybody better get to bed now.
Anyway, they you know, they're done with the challenge. Whatever. They're on their way back, and this is when Kate pits CT against Sandra and Sandra against CT. Now, I love this because I love a classic double cross. This is, you know, fun little spy stuff. And I was really proud of Kate. And it made me wish that Kate was a traitor a lot longer than she was, you know, altogether.
Yeah. I liked that she did this because I think it kind of showed that she could finesse it. And I know there's a lot – I'm turning into Donnie. A lot of people on Twitter are saying, like, they're like, oh, my God, Kate's an idiot. Kate's a moron. But I liked her explanation in the reunion of, like, no, I didn't deserve it. I'm not going to take this pot when I was only here for half the time. But I liked that, like, she did what she needed to do to get through that round table. And this showed, like, oh, no, she's very savvy. And, like, she could – had she been a traitor from day one, she could have ran shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I didn't have any problem with anything that Kate did. I just couldn't believe that these people fell for it. And then, you know, what happens when it does happen, and I'm sure we're going to get to it. I'm going to make conspiracy theories. Yeah. But I don't, you know, I was just like, I can't believe that she pulled this off. I can't believe that she turned the heat on to Sandra like that.
Now, we love Sandra. We love her so much. We love her boots down, as the youth say. But we get to the round table and they all turn on Sandra. And I love Sandra because of just how animated she gets when she's like trying to prove that she is not a traitor. But do you guys think that CT was really bamboozled by Kate? Or do you think that he did this because he is the only person there that's like, yeah, we're going to need these faithfuls to die because this is not a lot of money that we could possibly, you know, win.
I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to say it was him and Trishel. I think they just wanted to get rid of the people. They just wanted to bring the numbers down.
Mm. Oh.
You think it was that early on? I just don't think Trishel is that good of an actress.
I didn't even think about that. But I think that makes sense because I think also they wouldn't have been able to pull the little stunt they did at the fire with Sandra because Sandra, as soon as those flames turned red, she'd be like, all right, fuck it. Game on. I've won Survivor twice and I'm taking all you motherfuckers out. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's another really good point because I think that CT is aware that Sandra is the smartest person. Like Sandra and Kate are the smartest people left here and they can pull a fast one on MJ, but they cannot do that to Sandra.
Yeah, I'm only like thinking that they knew because at this point, I think Kate being a traitor is a certainty, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that Kate is a traitor and they still don't vote for her. Like if you're just getting rid of traitors, I understand why MJ doesn't because she has like an alliance with Kate or whatever. But Trishel and CT know that Kate is a traitor and they still go for it. And I just kind of don't buy it.
Yeah, that's these snakes. We got the final four. It's Kate, CT, MJ, and Trishel. There's the fire of truth or whatever. And
which MJ, is just a fire pit from Home Depot.
100%.
And Alan's outfit looked like it was a project. Oh, you were going to say this?
No, I'm so glad you mentioned it because, yes, please continue your thought about Alan's outfit.
It looked like it was a Project Runway unconventional challenge. What was that? It was just like little tiny like beads or gems from Party City.
It looked like somebody took like – like insulation or something and like we're like, let's bedazzle it. It looked like you were going to say Project Runway unconventional challenge. I was going to say it looks like a child's project. Like it looks like something
potato, potato, nor really. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it was so funny because I've seen Alan in such nice clothes and then he comes up with this and I was like, really, Alan?
The finale look is just the underskirt of a Christmas tree. Like, what is happening here?
MJ as Captain Obvious says, Sheree was murdered, so obviously there's a traitor. Yes. Like, he thinks MJ. And I love that Kate's like, yeah, I'm done. So it's like,
think we're good. Hey. Think there's, think we're all faithfuls here.
Yeah. Bingo, bango. All done. Obviously, Kate is voted out. And I did like you mentioned at the reunion, she mentions, she's like, yeah, I mean, obviously, duh. Like, mm-hmm. Kate's also not like a fighter in that way. Like, it feels like Kate even says in the reunion, like, I feel for Phaedra because she had to be a traitor for this entire game and she had to put up with this shit a lot longer. I was a traitor for like 3.5 days. The first day, MJ's like, hey, you all right? And like, she immediately picks up on it. So obviously, Kate was just like, that's why I love Kate, because Kate's like, you know what? I'm over it. I'm good. I'm done.
I'm done now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her move against Phaedra at the last round table when Phaedra was still there, that's mm-hmm. the only thing that screwed her. Like, she just shouldn't have done that. You know, calling.
Yeah, but I think she wanted to be screwed. I thought that was so weird. And I think mm-hmm. that's when she started planting the seeds of like, okay, well, now that Phaedra, like, I think that she was going to try to make it to the end for Phaedra so that when they got to that round, I imagine I'm putting myself in Kate's mind. And I feel like she was mm-hmm. going to be there to get Phaedra to the end. And even if it ended up being like her and Phaedra at that ceremony, I think she was going to make it so that Phaedra got all the money. You know what I mean? But as soon as Phaedra wasn't fighting for herself, that's what made her so pissed. And I think at that point she was like, well, it's me, guys. Like, vote me out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then we have MJ, CT, and Trishelle. And my God, this entire I got excited because I was like, oh, cool. But then I paused it and I looked at the time and I was like, there's still 20 minutes left. What the fuck? What's going to happen? Then my anxiety started increasing. That's when I started gasping and sweating in bed. Mm-hmm. The shock on MJ's face when she sees those red fires. Now I have to say, as soon as that happens, the way that CT and Trishelle look at each other and CT winks at Trishelle is like, these sons of bitches. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like they went two rounds for the show to make it even more, like, you think from the beginning, or do you really think that Trishelle was like on the fence?
You know, I was thinking about that. The only reason why I'm not 100% sure that they went, that they had this all planned out, is what if MJ had put CT's name down?
That's true. Right?
That's the only thing that I can't get past. But both of them, I feel like they wanted to be the last two people regardless, I think.
I think that Trishelle knew that MJ was never going to write CT's name down because mm-hmm. Trishelle knows that nobody likes her. Like, I think that she's aware that like MJ obviously does not like Trishelle, and everyone loves CT. Like, who doesn't love CT?
That's a risky move though. But I guess if you're Trishelle, there's no wrong part of that. Like, that you're not, there's the payoff is, okay, you either get the money with MJ or then you can take it a step further and vote her out, or you can get, I think she was going to end up with it regardless, but I feel like the two of them had this pact from day one, and then maybe Trishelle was still wondering where CT's loyalty laid, maybe not, but as soon as it turned red, I was like, ooh, a classic challenge, fuck you.
Okay, so this is the stuff that happens on the challenge, yes?
Yes, that's what's so funny to see Bravo Twitter like up in arms, like, they were faithfuls, how could they? And I'm like, you obviously never saw Johnny Bananas climb a literal mountain with someone who they like built this bond the whole season. And then he's like, ooh, sorry, I'm going to have to take the whole pot. Sorry, baby girl. Bye.
Yeah, dude, it's insane. It's one of the most diabolical things ever done. There was an entire season of Challenge where it was like two enemies like put together as a team. Mm-hmm. So it was, the whole thing was that you are now in a team with your biggest enemy from these, mortal enemy from all these shows. And he does it with the girl Sarah from New York, right? Or Brooklyn, mm-hmm. Real World Brooklyn. And they make it all, and she is like a nice person. And they make it to the end, and he takes.
And the whole time they've started like bonding and like, yeah. Okay, we're going to be in it till the end. And they get to the top of this literal mountain, and they have a choice where they have to say, they vote and they say, okay, I'm going to split the winnings or I'm going to take it mm-hmm. myself. But both people have to say that they're going to split in order to split. And so she chooses to split, and he's like, I'm sorry, I'm going to take the cash and go.
Can I ask you a question? As somebody who watches this stuff regularly, do you learn to love that stuff? Like, do you learn to love those moments? Because I'll just tell you my experience, right? Yeah. I watched the show by myself at 2 a.m. last night.
Yeah.
And then I woke up this morning and I was just typing. I was just taking notes as I was watching it. And this morning I woke up and I looked at my notes, and the last 20 minutes, it's just all caps lock of me just being like, a lot of it's just, oh my God, oh my God, what the fuck? And then like, CT is a villain. And just, I was just distraught. And like, the last line I had on it was, God, I hate this show. God, I hate these people. The bad guys won. And then I wrote, Trump is coming back to power with a sad smiley face.
Oh my God, this show really took you places.
I had a full existential breakdown last night.
Oh, well, how are you feeling better now, or are you still?
I feel much better. Here's okay, the thing.
You seem lowercase.
Yeah. You seem like a kind, good person, and you seem to enjoy these types of things. So hopefully I'll learn to, you know,
I like
be
the way
okay
you said
it.
You seem like. You're like, well, I can only tell
you. Those are big glasses.
So to answer your question, yes and no. I think it's hard when it's like your favorites. Mm-hmm. Getting played. Now, I do have a history with Shaws of Sunset. I have a love-hate relationship with MJ. Like, this is what happened to her in this finale, truly happens to her every single season of Shaws of Sunset. And they aren't even doing competitions. That's just their real life. But you do learn to love the like cutthroat gameplay. And it's the same way as like on Big Brother at the end, the jury members who are the people that were in the house, but then like get to vote, they've been evicted out, and they get to vote for who's going to win. A lot of times they will end up voting for the person who evicted them because they're like, okay, we've got to respect the good gameplay type mm-hmm. of thing. But I think in this type of environment where there are half Bravo celebrities who are truly blindsided, like everybody at that reunion watching what happened, mm-hmm. all the Bravo celebrities were like, No. Like, I think it's hard because like the gamers played like gamers, and that truly shocked everybody.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the, you know, at the end of the day, that's what I'm like, well, it is about winning money, right? And it is, yeah. You do, you know, spoiler alert, you do make more money when you only have to split it with one other person versus splitting it with two other people, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, let's talk about the split, guys, because that's the other thing. $208,000 split three ways after taxes is $42,000. I don't know if that's worth it for anybody. You can't even buy a Honda Civic with that kind of money.
Well, not with, I don't know if you get automatic windows with that.
Yeah. Oh, it was, yeah. So I feel like this is just like not enough money. But I think I'm now thinking maybe that is also why this game works for as many people to like double cross each other as possible, because you want to win this big sum of money with less people. So I think mm-hmm. the faithfuls are always incentivized due to the small amount of money to actually vote more of themselves out. And that's something that actually Sandra brings up at the reunion, where she says, for me to get to the end, it doesn't matter if you're a faithful or a traitor. I just know that all of you guys have to leave in order
exactly.
for me to get to
she's
the end.
Like 18
and
like, people.
Ugh, I love Sandra.
You know, if only at the reunion she had pool balls, like billiard balls.
Yeah. She could have explained it a lot better. Any other thoughts about the finale before we move over to the reunion?
No, I want to pitch. I know that Peacock executives and Andy Cohen himself are big fans of this show. So I want to pitch some ideas for next season, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. This podcast? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're going to have to do some sort of shakeup next season, because the precedent is now 100% being set that like networks stick together and there are going to be these alliances. And I feel like they have to do something next season where they shake it up in the beginning to form new alliances from the get-go. So either like split the house or have teams or like have a buddy system where one of you, if one of you isn't safe, the other one isn't safe or whatever, so that they're like kind of forming these other alliances. Because I think if they're not careful, it could get very stale where it's like, okay, now truly the Bravo clique is a Bravo clique and the gamers are a gamer click. Yeah. And then the other thing I want is I want the ability to share your shield. Like I would love the ability Ooh. To be able to like, I earn the shield and I'm secretly going to use my shield to protect this person over here. Because Ooh. I think that that could then change up the dynamics of like, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, you're being targeted, I'm going to use my shield on you. So then you're going to owe me a debt. And I think that that could be like an interesting little add-on.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. I also think that along with the shakeup, I think casting wise, we have enough history on all of these different shows for us to actually put mortal enemies against each other. Like I would love if it was Phaedra and Kenya mm-hmm. on Traitors. Like, you know what I mean? Or like, yeah. you know, any of these like big like fights. I mean, Bethany and Jill. No, we don't need Bethany on anything else.
Please, God. Please. I mean, she might not be able to handle it. They have to put their phones in a compartment somewhere. She wouldn't be able. How would she be on TikTok talking about CVS lip gloss? How would she weigh in on the Royals, Noor?
Oh, my God. So we get to the reunion. The looks were really interesting. One of the things I noticed was that Bergie and Peter are actually wearing the exact same suit, but just in different colors. One is red and the other one is green. And they just look like two little brothers on Christmas.
Oh. Or like Harry and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Or them. Yeah, there you go. Andy says nice glow up to Sandra. And Sandra looks at him like, what the fuck did you just say? Because I also was like, no, what do you mean? That's so weird. It was so rude of Andy.
It was a weird
comment,
right? That was a weird comment.
It was so weird. Yeah, I was texting Donnie throughout because I was like, oh, God, here we go with MJ. Because I knew going into the reunion that she was not going to let it go. And he's like, are you still in the finale or the reunion? And I said, I'm at the reunion. I just got to the part where Andy called Sandra ugly.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, oh, you clean up nice. It's like, what the fuck, Andy? Even Sandra's like,
I hardly recognized you. Damn, Andy.
Trishelle's like weird little Hunger Game outfit next to CT's like dad at a farmer's market was just mm-hmm. hilarious to me. And I was like, both of these people won the exact same amount of money and Trishelle spent it all on the outfit that she's wearing today. The big thing, obviously, at the reunion is gamers versus Bravo. And we sort of touched on this a little bit, but like, the gamers keep saying, we don't take this personally. However, mm-hmm. Chelsea, you've watched all of these competition reality shows, thanks to Donnie. Mm-hmm. And we know that there is a history of them fucking hating each other.
Yeah, like fist fights. Literal fist fights.
But CT, like, they keep saying, like, oh, Johnny Bananas, your best friend is CT. And both CT and Johnny Bananas keep being like, no, absolutely not. I hate that man.
But I've taken it quite personally when he's beat me over the years.
He carried me like a backpack. Like I'm
a fucking meme.
Like even Trishelle and CT winning is a big deal because Trishelle and CT do not have a history of getting along with each other. Mm-hmm. So for them, the gamers to all be, and like even Sandra and Parvati, they're like, yeah, we were not happy to see each other. But then they're also like, oh, MJ, let it go. Don't take this so personally. I'm like, no, you guys literally do it all the time. I find that so offensive as a Bravo lover.
Yeah, that's where I feel like they could have had more empathy. And if they had come from a place of like, MJ, you played an amazing game, which they did give her compliments. But if it was less like gaslighty, like get over it already, and more like mm-hmm. this was your first experience of this and it's so hard that first time that you're backstabbed, but you're an amazing game player and like this is only, I hope you come back and I hope I get to play with you in the future because this is only going to make you a more crafty games player or whatever. Throw her a bone. But instead they were like, come on MJ, get over it already. And then when that little hobbit politician man chimed
in, John,
shut up, John, shut up.
I was like, no wonder he's a because I was like, oh, John's a good guy. No, he's a politician for a reason. He's
go
a
back to the Shire.
Yeah, he's such an asshole. Back again. He's such an asshole. He just kept also having an opinion about everything where I was like, you know what, John? I really wish you'd shut the fuck up. And that makes more sense now why when Kate and Phaedra decided to murder John, they were like, you know what? He's just, he says way too many words. The word count on that man. It's too much.
You know, the Bravo, the gamers, all that stuff, it would feel better to me if they just came out and said, it's about the money. Because that's what it's about, right? Because that's not what they're saying. They're like, oh, no, you have to play the game. You have to. And they, you know, Trishelle and CT were trying to make like a, they were trying to give a reason why they kicked NJ out. And it's like, no, you just did it because you didn't want to share the money. Just say that. And I'll respect that more. I just don't like the way that they go about it.
Yeah. I don't know if they weren't allowed to say like, no, we had a final two deal. Like, I don't know if they, if Peacock didn't want them to say that out loud to like set that precedent, but I would have rather them say like, no, we had a final two deal and it almost fell through. But like we said from day one, it was going to be the two of us. But when they tried to say like, well, we didn't know for 100% that MJ wasn't a faithful. We all knew MJ was a faithful. Like, look, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody that waddles backwards like that in Janko jeans is a traitor.
Oh god, I love that outfit so much. I think also there's, it's so interesting because like all the gamers, all these people that have been on challenges, like obviously CT and Trishelle were originally on The Real World, so that's how they got famous, but then they got even more famous by being on the challenges. Johnny Bananas has never been on a Real World or Road Rules. He's only a challenge person. And so all of these people, the Survivor people, Big Brother, and the Challenge folks, they're, the reason they are famous is because they play games. Whereas Bravo people just show up. Like, they literally are just there to make friends. And I think, like, the big difference here is, like, Bravo, you only make money by being on the show, whereas gamers make money by winning the end of the game. And so for the Bravo people to even be voted out, it's, like, so offensive because they're, like, why do you think people wouldn't want to see me on this TV show anymore? Because actually on Bravo, like, on Housewives, it's always, like, oh, these people are trying to ice so-and-so out of filming. And, like, that's also why MJ is so pissed off because she's, like, I was your loyal friend. Like, even Phaedra says her gameplay was literally just trying to protect people who she liked. She was like, oh, I was just going to keep people around who I really liked. Which, like, I think to people like Dan or Janelle are like, what? What do you mean by that? What do you mean like? Because I don't think they like anybody.
Yeah, which speaking of, sorry to circle back, but this just hit me too when you mentioned Dan and then Johnny Bananas. Speaking of not taking it personally, Johnny Bananas still holding a grudge against Dan. So just interesting there.
Yeah, exactly. With this stupid like Captain Jack Sparrow ass weird facial hair that he had
very
going
Jack's Taylor coated.
Ugh, disgusting. Don't like him. Do you think that Dan has good gameplay? Do you like Dan?
No, I don't like Dan, but again, and I don't know. Yeah, imagine I was like, oh, I love Dan. I thought he played an amazing game.
Well, Tom and Kix love Dan Giesling.
But that's because they love Big Brother. And so the night, Nora, that you were in the Poconos and then you left and they started playing Big Brother clips to catch me up to speed, they literally on the big screen, Tom, Kix, Donnie, and Kendrick put up just like best of Big Brother to like give me an education on it. And so his funeral is like a classic thing where he was in exile. Were you there for this part already?
I don't think I watched it, but I remember it starting and I was like, I think I'm gonna leave.
I think this is my cue. But so he played this amazing game on Big Brother where he was exiled. He had like 24 hours of not talking to anybody. Everybody in the house was gonna vote for him to leave the house and evict him. He came out of this exile, this solitary confinement, and did this whole thing where he like blew up everybody's game, had a funeral for himself, gave this long speech, and then flipped the house. So he's like known in Big Brother lore as like this ultimate behind the scenes trickster. And then he came on this game and basically was like, go on, girl, give us nothing. Like, boo, boo, Dan, boo.
Yeah, yeah. Phaedra says he's a low down son of a bitch.
I love that so much.
He's a piece of shit. He's trash. She hates this man. She has said that he does not have a good Christian name or good Christian character. Like, Phaedra has never hated a person more, and that's crazy because she said horrible things about Kenya Moore in the past.
Terrible. Yeah. But he blew up Phaedra's game. I think had he not put the spotlight on her, I think she would have gone under the radar far longer. But he was really the one, like, to be voted out a traitor and then that's your Hail Mary. Everybody was like, oh, so Phaedra's a traitor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and ultimately, Bravo shows are a popularity contest. Like, that is the game on Bravo, right? Is like, who is the most popular, who is the most beloved? And that, because then you make more money off of the show when you are more beloved. So for as far as Phaedra is concerned, like, it's a matter of loyalty and friendship. The show called Traitors. Hmm. So even the traitors should be loyal and friendly to each other. Like, even though, yeah, she told Parvati, like, nobody likes you. You need to be nicer to everybody. Like, That was her giving her a tip.
That was her being like, no, this is like, I'm giving you a heads up here. People hate you. You need to get it together, girl.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing the Zoolander face every time you walk in a room. You need to lock it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think Dan throwing Phaedra under the bus at that round table was also worse because she had, like, nobody was suspecting her at all. Yeah. And at that point, Parvati was. Right, being suspected, right? So if he actually wanted to play that game, he could have thrown Parvati under the bus. He, you know, just picked Phaedra for no reason.
He says it's because he knows that she is so good. And in his mind, it's that even if I got Parvati out, I would have then had to survive against Phaedra, and I would have never survived against Phaedra. So this is my way of trying to flip everybody against Phaedra. And I'm just like, you know, Dan...
No.
Exactly right. Do you think that when Peppermint talks about her experience as a trans person and she says the first banishment is based on biases and people like me don't really fare that well in those situations, she's essentially saying, hey, Trishelle, you fucking suck and I can tell why you voted against me.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, Trishelle doesn't have the best history in these types of areas. So yeah, 100%. And I thought it was like just very telling Trishelle's tight butthole lips during that segment. Like not even a parting of the lips to even think about giving an apology or a like, wow, I didn't even consider the implications of going after you. Nothing. It was just true, like tightening up.
Yeah. John steps in. He's like, so I just want to say I really regret it, because he's like, oh no, everybody's gonna think that I'm racist. And it's like, well, you're a Englishman, like, obviously we already think that about you. But yeah, it was so funny because Trishelle said literally nothing about it. She's like, okay.
I do hope they have Peppermint back, especially after learning she's a super fan. Like, I would love to see how she plays the game. And I hope that they do have other RuPaul's Drag Race queens on, because I think that that could be a very fun dynamic too.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things they brought up was that, like, the reason why they could tell that Parvati was a traitor was because how she behaved during, like, filming and how she behaved when the cameras were down was completely different. And I thought that was interesting, the fact that, like, these guys actually get to hang out with each other after they leave the castle or go to sleep. Now, wait, Chelsea, I have to ask you, did you think that they slept there?
Did they not?
I'm so glad. Okay. No, they sleep at a hotel by the airport.
What the fuck?
Of course.
No, Chelsea,
I thought they rented a castle.
Thank you. No, the castle.
I feel like I just found out Santa's not real.
Thank you.
What?
I'm so glad. No, I also just found this out. Raheel was like, obviously they don't sleep there. And I was like, no, of course they do. And then it turns out they sleep at, like, the Iverness Hotel by, like, the airport or something, like a Howard Johnson. Like, they're just like, it literally is an airport hotel. Like, just so as soon as you get booted off, you grab your suitcase and just get on the first flight back to wherever. Which also brings me to the unfortunate update for you, is that, I'm sorry, I have to reveal this, the turret where they actually do the banishment.
Stop
that,
it.
Like, little, It's just a set piece.
Goodbye. I'm banishing myself. My God. Next you're going to tell me there's a person in that Mickey Mouse suit, Noor. Fuck.
No, Real had been watching it on his phone, and then he finally started watching it on his television. And I was like, oh, now, because the cinematography is so good, couldn't you tell that, like, couldn't you have believed that it was, like, a real castle that they were sleeping in?
Wait, it's
like,
not a real castle?
No. No, it is a real castle, but like the turret, I think, is just a set piece. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... just a conference room inside the hotel that they've set up. You can see like the cables and stuff in the back.
Oh no.
There's like a boom mic.
But where was Kate in that dungeon? That was a real that had to have been.
Yeah, that was a real dungeon, right?
Yeah, no, I'm sure it was. It was a 600-year-old dungeon that they put Kate Chastain in.
And Fergus really works on those grounds. They like asked Deontay about his sudden departure, and we got no new information about this man. He says something about working through childhood trauma that I feel like Peacock was like, we're gonna cut this out. Like,
cut this out.
Yeah, I was like, what happened to this man during this game?
Yeah, well, he also was voting out. Like, the voting out really got to him.
It really shook him. It was really like two of them, right? He just couldn't
boom,
take
boom.
It.
Boom, boom. And he was like, he was a main person of like, get him out. And then I felt so bad for, he was so sweet. He like really shook him. I bet that he was in shambles when he learned he wouldn't actually be sleeping in that castle. <It's a> betrayal.
So all those shots that they have of them like in their PJs getting into bed, all fake.
That does make sense because I forget who it was. It was probably like Pilot Pete or some dumb fuck like that. But somebody chose to like pretend to be sleeping in an armchair. And that was definitely like a creative decision.
Oh, my favorite is that Larsa is reading. Larsa's just doing some casual bedtime reading and Marcus is like playing chess. It's like,
okay. I had the funniest comment on my Instagram post about this show where somebody said, did anybody else notice Marcus Jordan in the back row trying to jump into the conversation like it was double dutch?
Yeah. Larsa and Marcus, like Andy of course switches over to like regular Bravo talk being like, so what's the status of your relationship?
Larsa, like, tell us about your new tits.
Oh my God, speaking of tits, guys.
Oh boy.
That Ek and Sue. Oh, sweet Jesus. That Ek and Sue.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Oh, God. She is so hot. I can't deal with it. And it makes me angry that she and Pilot Pete are maybe together.
I heard that. And before, when you told me about the four times in a windmill, I had my doubts. But if he's pulling Ek and Sue, I kind of get it.
He is so corny. Can I
Everybody
just
wants to fuck Pilot Pete, I feel.
I don't like him at all. He is so fucking cheesy. He does that impression of Alan, and I was like, somebody slap him. I hate him so much with his dumb suit and his stupid bow tie. Mm-hmm. I think I also just hate white men, so it doesn't help.
I like Pilot Pete.
You would. things get to a head at the end of this reunion. It's a whole bunch of just like questions about whatever, all these, like, it's just like fan questions, honestly. It did not surprise me that the reunion was out a week after it was filmed. It's the fastest turnaround I've ever seen, but I think it's because of it was fairly nice. But it gets to a head with MJ versus CT and Trishel. And Trishel, of course, is like, well, you blocked me on Instagram and I don't understand why. And then John is like jumping in there and saying she doesn't have the right to be aggrieved. And he's like, it's just a game. It's a game. It's a game. And I was like, you know what? I am glad you don't have your inhaler.
Was it a game when you were delivering your morning soliloquy, John? Shut up. Some of us take it seriously. Clearly, you were doing like, I don't know, a dress rehearsal on the way over from that airport. I can't speak anymore. Go ahead. you told me that they don't sleep in the castle and my brain is still rebooting.
They all say that Trishel is the best gamer there. And do you agree with that, Raheel?
No. No. You know what I hate about Trishel? Is that for some reason, she seems to think that her not or her being a faithful is a reflection on who she is as a person.
Yes.
Like, she's just like, of course I'm not. Of course I'm not a faithful. And she gets, like, offended that people aren't,
I'm not a traitor. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a traitor, right?
Yeah.
And she gets, like, offended because it's like, and it's like, Alan just randomly chose two people. That's how the game works.
Yeah. Yeah. It was production. Production said, hey, Alan, tap Phaedra and dance shoulders. And then that was it. I know that's a thing that, like, always makes me laugh about the gamers is, like, you have somebody like Trishelle who is so frantic, who is crying because CT didn't light her torch, like, literally is thinking that she is going to die tonight, cries, wipes tears off her eyes when they find out that John has been murdered. Like, she's obviously so emotionally invested. So that's also why it's frustrating that she's like, I don't know why you're so mad at me, MJ. And it's like, what? Trishelle, don't, you can't, in the words of that ghoul Bethany, you can't be smart and stupid, okay?
Yeah, you were frantic to get a shield from the moment you're feet touched that country. You're like, I need a shield now. I need it. Please give it to me. Save it. Save me. It's like
so weird.
Yeah. And they just it was just disrespectful. I think it would have been much more respectful if they were like, MJ, you played a great game. There's truly nothing you could have done. We had this two-person alliance till the end, but like you played an amazing game. Your track record, you were never like brought up as a traitor. It was incredible to watch, but you just, it was what it was. And you learn the hard way. But instead, they're like gaslighting her about it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I mean, CT does try to throw her a bone and is like, so this is your first time and you're going to be sad, but don't take it personal. Also,
fuck you, Johnny Bananas. Johnny Bananas.
Luckily for us, Phaedra, the Bravo people are great at reunions and they love to just like, I think I saw a tweet that said, or maybe it was even you, Chelsea, that said it, like, Bravo people's game is the reunion. Like, the reunion is their final mission. That is how their game works. That is what they do. They fuck around with each other all season long. They talk shit about each other, and it all comes to a head at the reunion. And that's really where they shine. So the fact that everybody's like, why is MJ so upset? And why is she being so dramatic? I'm like, honey, just the same way you can understand why CT and Trishelle would screw people over, you need to understand that MJ is going to react this way because that's – and also why Phaedra still hates Dan because he's a son of a bitch.
It's the same reason why Phaedra, anytime she was backed into a corner, did give the most – like amazing lines of the entire season consistently. And in that way, Phaedra did win her game. If we're looking at like what the housewives want in terms of like most screen time, most publicity, most liked, most beloved, most memeable moments, like Phaedra won.
Absolutely. She does also on her Instagram, she posted a picture of Trishelle and said, pure evil. Oh, God. I'm going to miss them.
This was a great season. I had so much fun watching.
Yeah. I could watch that last bit of fire stuff over and over again. It broke my heart in a million ways. I loved it so much. I'm going to miss the shit out of them.
And I think at the end of the day, a show that makes you type in all caps, really, that's all it's meant to do, really. It's supposed to make you feel things, you know?
Yeah. What do you think about the people that are like the Bravo people being like, I hate this show. I can't believe this happened, blah, 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 blah. Like, I love the amount of heartbreak at the end of this because, like you said, like the caps and stuff, like it felt to me at the end like I was watching Game of Thrones. Like, I was like, oh, my God, this is Red Wedding all over again. Like, what is happening? Oh, my God. It's incredible. I can't wait to keep watching the show. Like, there's something about a show hurting me that makes me – strangely want to go back to it. Is that Stockholm syndrome?
No, that's the other way around, I think. So the Fire of Truth stuff was, you know, I don't know when I'm gonna be emotionally ready to watch that again. But even before that, when Sandra was getting kicked off, like during the I was heartbroken, and then I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna continue to watch this show after they've done this to Sandra. And then like 30 seconds later, they're all standing by the fire. I'm like, okay, let's see what's going on. You know?
Yeah, that's how quickly.
I also famously cannot finish a Big Brother season. I always start, and then when my favorites get voted out, I'm like, okay, well, I'm done now. So I can't really talk too much shit, but I do have to say the Bravo fans who are like up in arms and like, faithful should be faithful. Get a life. Get a life. You are the same people who are complaining like, Beverly Hills is boring. It's an alliance. Yeah, because we want backstabbing. We want drama. We want mess. Like, to quote Marie Kondo, I love mess. And that's why I watch reality shows. Like, get a life.
Exactly. Yeah. Grow up, honestly. Like, stop being so like sensitive about, you know, I mean, listen, it did break my heart for MJ. But again, like you said, MJ shouldn't be surprised because the woman has been screwed over so many times in her life.
Yeah, so in terms of the people, my heart was broken for MJ and for Sandra, but in terms of the show, all this finale did was make me want more. Like, I want more traitors. I want to watch this again next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can root for people and you can be pissed about how it turned out, but still recognize like, oh, that was incredible television.
Exactly.
Well, guys, we have to say goodbye to traitors, and I'm going to now have to try to find another reality TV show to trick Raheel into watching, because I did make him, I forced him to watch the first three episodes, and he was like, ugh, and then, like, after the first episode, he was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. No, after the first episode, I was like, oh, I guess I'll stick around for the second one. And at the end of the second one, I was like, I gotta watch the third.
And here we are watching it at 2 a.m. typing in caps lock.
Having a full existential breakdown.
Preparing for Trump's return.
Yeah, exactly. It's the worst thing that could happen in 2024 to me. Trishelle winning.
Somebody tweeted, Trishelle's donating all of her money to the Trump campaign. Thanks a lot. So, you know what? You might not be wrong. Well, guys, that's the end of this episode. Chelsea, what do you guys have going on I Am the Cute One?
Just a whole lot of nonsense. We are currently in the middle of Donnie Appreciation Month, so toot toot, buckle up for that. We are covering, when does this come out?
Like tomorrow? Now?
Okay. Yeah. You're so fast, so speedy. So on Monday, we are covering Rocky Horror Picture Show. And on Friday, we've started doing a TGIF episode. And if you want to hear Donnie's thoughts about traitors and basically us just fight for a while, this past Friday, our TGIF episode, we did talk about traitors. And Donnie talked extensively about what would happen if he and I went on Big Brother together and at exactly what point in the game he would turn on me. So there's that.
Now, do you think that if you and Donnie were to be on Traitors, like, do you think that you guys would trust each other on Traitors?
I would trust him, and he would backstab me the first second he got, and I would be MJ, shocked Pikachu. Not even by the fire, because it would be like the first banishment. Donnie would be like, oh, Chelsea's a traitor. Get her out.
Yeah, exactly. Raheel would be an incredible traitor. He would really win people over, mostly by running errands for them off camera. And then they'd be like, well, we can't vote him off because
need somebody to go to CVS for us.
Because I think actually that's also what happened with Phaedra. They're like, Phaedra was praying for us every day, so we couldn't vote against her because of Jesus. And I was like, Phaedra's so good.
Tamara said that several times. I was like, that poolside baptism really stuck for that woman.
Yeah, it really did. Now, you said that you and Donnie were fighting with each other. Obviously, I want everybody to go and listen to this episode. But can you give us a preview of why you and Donnie were fighting with each other, aside from the regular stuff that you guys are usually fighting about?
Oh, just mostly everything we fought about, but mostly about him voting me off on this hypothetical Big Brother game. But then also he was rooting for Sandra because we did record it before the finale. Yeah. So he was rooting for Sandra. I realized I'm always rooting for the traitors, which I don't know what that says about me as a person. So I was rooting for Kate. And then I did have a big issue with Parvati. She annoyed the fuck out of me. She made me hate headbands. And Donnie had a lot to say about that. So,
great. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to hear that. And Raheel, what do you have going on?
Nothing at all. The holy month of Ramadan is starting on Monday. I'm just mentally preparing myself for that. But I have a question about Donnie Appreciation Month. Are you guys doing stuff that Donnie appreciates? I met Donnie today.
Oh, I forgot. So you've met the man, the myth, the legend. Yeah, so it's his birthday.
He told me about water balloon chess.
Water balloon
titties. I didn't know if I could say that.
So his birthday is in 11 days, but for the whole month of March, he terrorizes those nearest and dearest to him. So we usually split. We cover movies from the 90s and 2000s on our show. So we usually will split 50-50. Like, I'll choose one, he'll choose one. I'll choose a disaster movie, he'll choose a High School Musical movie, back and forth, back and forth. But Donnie Appreciation Month, he gets to decide all four movies. And by the end, I look like a withered toad.
He's also forced her to watch all of Glee. So, like, it's just
only half of season one. That's all I could physically muster. I was like, Donnie, I feel like I am developing like an autoimmune disease because my body is rejecting Mr. Shu on a visceral level.
Like an ulcer, right? I tried to watch Glee also when it came out. I just couldn't. It was like the first episode was kind of nice. And the second one, you're like, oh, this is what's going to happen every episode. I can't handle this.
Every time. When Mr. Shu sang the thong song, I said, I am out. We have strayed too far from God's light. I am atheist adjacent, and I think that this is going to send me over the edge, Donnie. I got to come back. Like, stop it.
Was there beatboxing and a cappella during the thong song?
There wasn't beatboxing, thank God, but there was a bit of a dance that he did, a bit of a slither, very Justin Timberlake in the God. Hips.
Well, you know, he was originally a boy bander, so what boy band was he in? He was in Making the Band, right?
Yeah, he wasn't in any of the famous ones.
Yeah, I thought he almost made it into O-Town, that's why. I thought that he was almost there. But anyway, thank you everybody for listening. As I updated before, we will be trimming our schedule down to just twice a week for the entire month of Ramadan because bitch is tired. But thank you for being here and thank you for listening.